A very warm welcome to this service of the Word for Tuesday of Holy Week with hymn and a devotional address. It's good to have you with us. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving power among the nations. Blessed are you, Lord God of our salvation. To you be glory and praise forever. As we behold your Son enthroned on the cross, stir up in us the fire of your love, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and walk with you in newness of life, singing the praise of him who died for us and our salvation. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever.
Silent surrendered, calm and still, open to the word of God, heart humbled to his will, offered is the servant of God. Silent, surrendered, calm and still, open to
that this week may be holy, good, and peaceful, let us pray with one heart and mind. As our evening prayer rises before you, O God, so may your mercy come down upon us to cleanse our hearts and set us free to sing your praise, now and forever. Amen. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I seek refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be for me a stronghold to which I may ever resort. Send out to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the evildoer and the oppressor. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence even from my youth. Upon you have I leaned from my birth, when you drew me from my mother's womb. My praise shall be always of you. I have become a portent to many, but you are my refuge and my strength. Let my mouth be full of your praise and your glory all the day long. Faithful Lord, living Saviour, in youth and old age, from the womb to the grave, may we know your protection and proclaim your great salvation to the glory of God the Father. A reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands, pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Redeemed. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. To one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Canticle is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, which has been our affirmation of faith through these days of Lent. Christ Jesus was in the form of God, but he did not cling to equality with God. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and was born in our human likeness. Being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A reading from St. John's Gospel. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them.
Tuesday in Holy Week. Today we move from an intimate, rather cosy scene, the house at Bethany, to a frontier, to the crossing of a boundary. Jesus was a Jew, a good and faithful Jew, but he wasn't only concerned for his own people. Slowly but surely, and at times painfully, Jesus realizes that all men and women need the good news that he brings. We recall from St. Mark's Gospel that amazing encounter with the woman, the Syrophoenician woman. She was an outcast in two ways. She was a woman and she was a foreigner, a non-believer. And Jesus had gone to be quiet, to get away from the crowds for a while, and was pestered by her. She had a sick daughter, evidently with what we would now call mental illness. She was beside herself. But he brusquely dismissed her. "It's not right for me to give the food for the family to the outcast," and he calls them dogs. And she responds by saying that surely the dogs can eat the scraps from the table. And Jesus is so struck by her answer that he grants her wish, and the daughter is healed. And so even our Lord himself struggles with the boundaries that we set around the love of God. Slowly we realize that we in Christ open our arms to all who seek God, whatever their background or their tradition. And God constantly breaks out. He escapes from the prison that we erect, the walls, the definitions, the conditions, the boundaries. And if the Jewish-Gentile conflict is not ours, in our own generation we have conflicts about language, about how we describe and understand God. And we all need help to break out of what we've been used to, what we've been constrained by. You may know the poem by Kathleen Hort, which says, "I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, it sure is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish. And she said, honey," she calls me that sometimes, she said, "you can do just exactly what you want to do." "Thanks, God," I said. "And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she got that one from? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. In today's gospel, it is the Greeks who come looking for Jesus. Another group beyond the pale. People not in the covenant community of which Jesus was embedded. And they come not directly to him, we notice, but to the door of a friend of a friend, hopefully hoping that they may somehow get word to him. You may remember that song way back from the wartime, which was the popular song, I danced with the man who danced with the girl who danced with the Prince of Wales. A popular song which delighted in a connection, however distant, however second-hand, with a celebrity. And here in today's gospel, Philip is the one they approach. But Philip needs to find Andrew, who seems to be the fixer, and together they go to find Jesus. So it begins with an inquiry. It then moves to a referral and finally an encounter. And this is often how it happens, how we hear and how we share. It's how what we call evangelism is done, by word of mouth. Sometimes we get nervous about evangelism. We think of it as something to be done as a special exercise outside our Christian life, an add-on, a further burden. And imagine that we have to have a special mission, capital M. We have to have training. When all we simply need is to meet curiosity with an excited eagerness to share. That when we glimpse the need of someone we bump into, a friend, a stranger, someone in need, someone with an open heart, we can begin to excitedly share with them what we have found. As one person described evangelism, it's one beggar telling another beggar where there's some bread. I bore my friends recently with my enthusiasm for a television show called Schitt's Creek on Netflix. It's a delightful series about a family, a rich family, who fall on hard times and have to discover each other and their relationships and their love for one another. It is incredibly funny and movingly sad as their need is exposed and their vulnerability to one another. And I find myself quite accidentally, I realize, an evangelist for the show, because I tend to tell lots of people about it and ask whether they've seen it, and if they have, to compare notes about our enjoyment of which series and which episode. We see then that when we are excited about anything in our lives, whether it's a TV program or a place to go on holiday or a painting or a piece of music, we don't need training. It's part of who we are. It's part of our lives. And in this way, God is made known through our encounters, curiosity meets eager excitement. And in this encounter, Jesus strangely returns to his enigmatic self. The Greeks are ushered into the presence, and the first words we recorded here in the Gospel are, on his part, "The hour has come." And he gives them a vignette of the whole Christian way, the way of following Jesus of Nazareth. He proclaims that it is a paradox, that when we cling to life, we shall lose it, and when we die, we shall live. He shows us in that moment of encounter with the Greeks that the Christian way is very simple and very terrifying. It is to let go of all that we hold dear in order that we may cling to eternal life, in order that we may know the wonder, the joy, the infinite possibilities of God.
My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath magnified me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him throughout all generations. He has showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seat, and hath exalted the humble and meek. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He, remembering his mercy, hath halted his servant Israel, as he promised to our forefathers, Abraham and his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Let us pray. Lord God of our salvation, hear us as we pray through Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and who lives to make intercession for us. Grant that your church may be strengthened to enter more deeply into your Son's Passover through death into life, that we and all who claim his name may not shrink from the cost of discipleship. We pray for our fellow Christians suffering trial and persecution for righteousness' sake. Support them in their hour of darkness and visit them with your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Look with mercy upon our world. Unite the races and nations of the earth in your covenant of peace. Heal our divisions and our fears, and take from us all causes and occasions of strife and bloodshed. Bless all your children with peace, justice, and freedom. Give to them wise and compassionate government, and give us the will to ensure that the earth's goodness is made available to all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Enfold in your love all who are in pain of body and darkness of spirit, all who suffer at the hands of others, all who are the innocent victims of human selfishness, greed, and fanaticism. Fulfill your promise to bring release to the captive, to set at liberty the oppressed, and to make all things new in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Take into your care all who have died. May they be brought to glory and be filled with your goodness through him who tasted death for everyone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us commend the world for which Christ died to the mercy and protection of God. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Standing at the foot of the cross, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May Christ, who bore our sins on the cross, set us free to serve him with joy. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.